Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Do call in with your questions, comments, concerns at 845-277-9406. Call in to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell at 845-277-9406. Let's discover together what is the self. How do we use that inner unencumbered self to create the reality we desire? Call in, share your experience, 845-277-9406. And again, we welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever, wherever you are in the world, listening to Identity Theft of the Self. I am Ellen Hartwell, and my illustrious and light-filled co-host is John Warren. How are you this morning, this afternoon, this evening, John Warren?
Yeah, I love that. And even below the equator, you know, it's summertime. So happy summertime. It's almost summer solstice for our friends in Australia.
There you go.
And New Zealand. So I am terrific and I am full of life. That is a really good way to put it. I'm excited about the show and the weekend and the holidays. And yes, indeed, and my cup of coffee and all of it. I'm excited about all of it.
The gratitude attitude. Don't you love it? So today's topic is bringing more light into the world. You know, we use light all the time. It's dark in a room, we turn a light switch and on comes the light. We don't really think about light. We don't give it much attention and we don't give it much thanks unless we think about it, because light is important in everything we do. It's just super important. And light has so many uses. And I have this image of many, many eons ago, even before I was born, John, when the cavemen were grunting around in primordial forests or swamps or whatever, and lightning hits a tree, and the tree catches on fire, and they're like, ooh, ooh, and they get closer to it because they're curious, and it's warm, and they go, 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 and
that what they did? How'd they do it, Alan? What'd they say?
They said, oomba goomba. And so, really, they did. And so they look at this tree that's on fire and it's giving off all this crackling and light, and that light is warm, and they're drawn to it. And one of the guys, I don't know his name because I couldn't pronounce it, but anyway, one of the guys that was there looks at his lovely cave woman and says, ugh. And so she goes, ugh. And they take a branch on the ground, and they take it over, and they stick it in the fire. And the fire lights up the branch. And now they can walk around with this burning branch, and they can see in the dark. And it's warm, and they're so excited. So they keep it going. They put it on the ground, and they add sticks and leaves and twigs to it. Pretty soon they have a really nice bonfire going. And here comes one of the cousins, and he's got all these delicious herbs, like salad greens, and he puts them near the fire, and they cook, and they're even more delicious. And so light came from the sky to the tree, to man, and man learned how to harness the light, and we do it all the time now. And so we can thank that caveman for going boom, boom, about the fire, because now we have that in all of its forms, light. All you have to do is go outside at night or in the early morning before the sun has come up and look at the stars in the sky. Look at the moon. There's something so mystical about the luminaries in the sky. And really give thanks for the light. And we ourselves have light within us. And light brings us to awareness, to consciousness, to gratitude, to our manifesting abilities, because the authentic self is light. The authentic self is unencumbered by race, mind, consciousness, what your neighbors think, what your mama told you, what daddy yelled at you, whatever it is. The authentic self is so full of light because there aren't any clouds hanging around. Clouds of, you can't do that, you know. Clouds of, you don't have enough money to do that. Clouds of, you'll never be successful. Just accept that you're going to stay where you are. Clouds of, you know, you're not pretty enough. Clouds of, you know, you're too skinny or you're too fat, whatever. The authentic self doesn't have any of those clouds, so its light is perfectly clear. So when we access the authentic self through our thoughts, we get a sense of that pulsating light, that animating force. Where, one might ask, did that light come from? Well, it might have come from the lightning, but I personally believe that light is God, spirit, universe, Allah. There's the list again, John. That God's light filled us with an animating force. And that light is the place from which we have a constant joy, not dependent on circumstance. That light illuminates the things that we need to work on and keep what works and discard the rest. That light is our constant companion, always creating with us from the purest possible place. So we get rid of darkness by turning on the light, whether it's a candle, a flashlight, a light that's wired in your house, or, oh yeah, the light of our thoughts. Light thoughts, positive thoughts, dispel the dark thoughts. The light came into the world and the darkness knew it not. So light is important in our practical everyday life, and it's also important in how we deal with our authentic self and use that pure white light, loving divine intelligence, divine light, divine love. We use that energy, that power given to us and living within us. And when we abide in that, our creations come more quickly, more purely, and in ways that are always like, wow, look at all that light. Now, I don't want to talk about the Star of Bethlehem until our next segment, so don't push me. But I do want us to remember that we create the reality we desire with our purest thoughts, with our light-filled thoughts. And that's why you hear John and me always talking about countering negative thoughts with positive ones, because what are we doing? We're turning a light on in a dark room, as it were. Wouldn't you agree with that, John?
You did it again. You talk for 7 minutes. Wouldn't you agree with that? Well, I can't think of a thing I don't agree with what you said. I'll put it that way. That's easier for me to answer. Yeah. The answer is, Ellen, even in your example, whoever it was, I would say to you that that was an evolution in consciousness. Because what we're talking about, you call it God or light, or we can call it anything you want to call it. I call it consciousness. When consciousness is applied, unconsciousness goes away. When light is applied, darkness cannot be. And I actually happen to think, I mean, and this is proven in my own practice, that largely what we're doing here, almost entirely, as spirits and souls moving in physical form, is applying light and learning to apply light. Why even Star Wars is so big? Because the entire underpinning of Star Wars is may the force be with you, meaning, which is a form of prayer, which is another way of saying apply the light, access the light. And what I love about what you said, Ellen, the caveman analogy is many things, because other than it's funny and it's 9 in the morning on the West Coast, hearing one of my friends go ooga booga on the radio just makes me happy anytime. That's just a good thing. Is that what happened at some point in the discovery of fire or the application of fire, not only did those cavemen and cavewomen, let's be politically correct, the cave people, at some point, I believe, probably unconsciously, but bring up just enough consciousness to go, we need something more here. We need warmth. And they rose their vibration. You know, the vibration of the cave people went to a level that allowed fire to happen, is what I would say. And then it appeared to come from outside of them, because that's the level of consciousness they are at. They were at. But also in your demonstration, note, in your example, please note that the other thing that happened there is they immediately started to apply what they unconsciously manifested, meaning we can use this for warmth. We can figure out a way to recreate what that lightning did. We can use this for cooking. We can use, which then, you know, the application of that, then that light, then expanded all sorts of other ways and kept expanding. And that's what we're doing here when we bring the light. And that's what, at least for the Northern Hemisphere, I will say, is what this, you know, why we celebrate the holidays that we celebrate around this time of year, whether it be Christmas or Hanukkah, or even, you know, just the summer, you know, excuse me, the winter solstice, is the Yule log, is bringing light into the darkness. That's what we are commemorating and acknowledging. And where we are after we bring the light in, it immediately becomes something that, as you put, hit the apply button on, that we can apply. How do I bring consciousness to the areas where I am unconscious? And that is what, to me, what this discussion about is about bringing light into the world and applying it in what are the tools that we can apply it to manifest what we want. I mean, the fire of the caveman, it allowed them to apply, once they figured out what to do with it and how to do it, it applied to cooking, which actually made them more physically strong. And that led to other things, and it kept going. I'm not an archaeologist or an anthropologist, so I don't know exactly how the cavemen developed. But you can ask some of your friends, I think, Ellen, that you were just talking about how that happened.
I will. I'll give a full report next week.
Okay, good. But the point is that once we start applying the light, it is astonishing. And you know what I mean by applying the light? I think everybody knows what I mean at this point. Is that applying consciousness where we are unconscious, and unconscious by definition means that we don't know about it. So we apply the light by saying things that I need to, everything I need to know to bring about the next step in my life now appears to me. And in fact, if you're paying attention, and if we continue to practice, usually daily, if we continue to practice the application of how do I bring light to this, whatever the situation is, whatever it is that I want, we will get the information that we need, and we will get it in a steady and ongoing way. And it's the beauty of the season to me. It is the final beauty of the season. I will show you the light, and we are shown the light, and we get to apply it and manifest with it. It's power. It comes with power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a moose in there in your house, John? Anyway, yes, I agree with you. And by the way, the cavemen have just sent me a text and said we also used it to keep wild animals away from us so we didn't get it.
Okay, wow. See, I don't know who the caveman is who sent that to you, but tell him it's impressive that he has a cell phone, or she. And that's exactly right. Yes, absolutely. So, but that is a consciousness about, you know, I would even say, I wonder what the undergirding belief, and I believe our principles here, that we manifest what we believe, the underlying belief there, whoever that was texted you or sent you that message, bullseye, because the underlying belief there is survival. I intend to survive. I believe I should survive. I will survive. All of that stuff is sort of the affirmation, and you manifest things that help you survive then. I mean, and, you know, we want to do more than survive because we are a long way from living in caves most of the time.
Speak for yourself, John.
Actually, I love my cave. I will just say that. It's very cozy. That we're doing things more than just surviving, but the belief is that I survive. I mean, whatever level of consciousness they were working at in that moment. I love this conversation about cavemen during Christmas time. I will survive, and that is a brilliant way of that text is a brilliant way of expressing, oh, yeah, because that's what happened. The result of that fire was manifested in a way that they would more readily survive, and more of them would readily survive.
Exactly.
So it worked.
It worked. We are going to have to go to a commercial break right now here on Identity Theft of the Self. And when we come back, our topic today is bringing more light into the world. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Star of Bethlehem. Ooh, okay, you ready? Here comes my favorite all time of all times, my very favorite commercial. Are you feeling like you've done it all? All the affirmations, all the meditations, everything you can think of, prayers, standing on your head, spitting wooden nickels, and still there are those few things that you haven't manifested in your life. And it is frustrating. It truly is. Well, there's something going on there. There's a belief that you haven't uncovered that is halting you in some way from manifesting that which you desire. So to the rescue comes John Warren. He will help you uncover the belief systems that are keeping you back, as well as uncover those, if you don't already know, that have helped you. John is an expert at manifesting things. He can teach you how in such a quick and beautiful and gentle and enlightening way. So John Warren to the rescue. Can you hear the helicopter in the background? Yeah, that's John. He's about to drop into your life and rescue you in the sense of pointing out to you those patterns which are holding you back. And I don't know about you, but I feel we all need someone to do that for us now and then. And why not go to an expert on manifestations? That would be John Warren. Oh, how do you get him? Oh, you just go to my site. It's simple, ellenhartwell.com, and there he'll be. Set up a time, and he'll rescue you out of this hamster on a wheel feeling you've gotten. You watch and see if he doesn't. God, that helicopter, John. What do? You park that on your roof or in your backyard? Where do you put that?
No, I'm in it now. I never leave it. I'm in it right now.
So here we are again.
Over.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to ignore that. Sometimes he's not as grounded as others, ladies and gentlemen, because he spends so much time in that helicopter. Anyway, this is Identity Theft of the Self, and we are talking about bringing more light into the world now. The Star of Bethlehem, was that real? Was there really this huge, giant star that the three wise men followed? Well, some people say it was a supernova. Some people say it was the planet Uranus. Some people say it was a certain alignment of the stars at that time. We probably will never know, even though, yes, John, I'm quite elderly. I'm not that old. So I wasn't there. However, I can tell you that...
You weren't?
No, I was born a little bit after that. Not by much. A little bit.
Wow, that's good. I was letting you, that's a joke that you set up. I didn't even go there with my mind, but it's very funny.
Uh-huh. Anyway,
yeah, okay.
So the Star of Bethlehem, and so we don't know whether it was a supernova or what, but we know that the Magi, the three wise men, were learned men, and they were also astrologers, so something was happening in the skies that way back then, even before I was born, they traveled for hundreds and hundreds of miles following something bright in the sky. We'll call it the Star of Bethlehem. So they followed that star, that great light in the sky, on their camels for hundreds of miles. That's not easy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure it wasn't. They didn't have a car they could jump in. They had to go by camel, and I'm sure it was a very arduous trip. So here they are, trudge through the sands and whatever, and watching this star and following it. And why? Well, because they believed that wherever that star was, beneath it was a great event. And so they kept at it, and they got there. And what did they find? A king on a throne? No, they found a baby in a bunch of hay. And they went, well, we trust the light, and we trust that this is something so amazing, something so incredible, something so awe-inspiring that we've been led here to bring our gifts of frankincense and myrrh to this baby. We may not understand it, but our faith, our belief, our knowing allowed us to follow that star to this event. Now, why is that important? You don't have to be Christian. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in the Star of Bethlehem. You don't have to believe Jesus was born on December 25th. You don't have to believe any of that. What's important is following the light. We don't follow darkness around. No, we follow the light of our purest thought. We follow the light of our consciousness, ever expanding in intimacy with the God of our understanding. And we find what? We find, yep, a baby. No, you don't. Yes, you do. You find something in embryonic form or an infant form or a two-year-old form or a 10-year-old form, but you find something that needs to be nurtured and grown and brought up to an adulthood. It might be an idea. It might be a plan. It might be, how am I going to manifest X, Y, or Z? But if we follow the light, we find the answer, because there's no darkness. It's all pure, authentic self operating in communication and in tandem and in intimacy with Spirit. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why I find the Star of Bethlehem so important, that beautiful light ever guiding us to what? To more light, because light begets light begets light. Hallelujah. How are you today, John?
You happy with that bit?
I'm happy.
Got your Christmas in? Got your Christmas going?
I like it.
Ellen, this is, in our notes, we were talking about this, reading over the notes about bringing light, and what's the symbology of it? Like the symbolic, the symbolism of Hanukkah is that you're lighting, there was enough oil to light all of the candles for 8 days. They thought they didn't have enough, but it turned out they had enough, there was enough there for 8 days of bringing light in. And to a certain degree, I don't care if this really happened. Not to a certain degree, I actually don't care. Meaning, whether the wise men came to see the light incarnated in the flesh is what they were going to see. If there was really a star guiding them, what's important here again is I think you hit on it. There's the symbolism of it, of bringing light and following the light, and not in a gooey Hollywood, you can have your dreams come true kind of way. But what you just said was so incisive. Following the lightness, following the light and the light of your thoughts, and following it until it is incarnated, until you arrive, until it is manifest, and keep following it and keep applying light to it. The symbolism of the journey and the symbolism of the gifts and the symbolism of what would have been in the moments just before you were born, Ellen, the mysterious East, which is symbolic of the unconscious. The unconscious is coming, is following the light until it was made manifest in consciousness in incarnate form. And whether you're a Christian or not, what's happening here is the manifestation. Wow. Jesus being the great example, not the great exception. And that the light is now manifest in the form of and later on in his life, he will demonstrate for us how to apply it when he gets into teaching mode 27 odd years later. And I think what's important here is that the symbology of the unconscious following the light until it is made conscious, in the form, in this case, of a form of a baby in hay, made conscious and expanded. And that's what's beautiful to me about this whole season, is that it is a constant application of bring light into the darkness, bring light into the darkness. Keep applying light to what you're unconscious about, and you will be made conscious of it, and then you will be empowered to change it, modify it, hit the apply button, what they would call perform miracles 2,000 years ago, what we who study this stuff would call, you know, essentially the law of attraction, vibrating, you know, based on where we are in our own development. And that's what's beautiful to me about this. It does come in the form of a surprise. And it does come in the form of giving gifts. I promise you, what you are unconscious about, when you will be are made conscious of it, when I am made conscious of it, it is gifts. There are gifts and gifts and gifts galore that you get by bringing your unconscious to the level of consciousness. We talk about this all the time. How many times have we looked back on our life and thought, I hated when that happened. I hated when that was brought to light and that happened. But in retrospect, looking back, it changed my life for the better. There were gifts brought, essentially, to the stable, to the manger. I hope we're not going too far afield with the. I'm not going too far afield with the metaphor here, but I think it's important. There is great wisdom in you, in the form of your three wise men, or whatever you want to call it, in your unconscious that are journeying at all times to make themselves manifest. In you, as it were. And that's the symbology. That to me is the symbolism of Christmas, the symbolism of the baby in the manger, in infant form, that what the great power of creation is actually manifest in you at all times. And thinking about it, you know, in your solar plexus as a little baby in the manger is actually kind of great. And that baby can be nurtured to grow up to be empowered. To be empowered to manifest consciously. That's what we're doing. We're always manifesting unconsciously. The beauty of this time of year is that we publicly and continually acknowledge through a series of holidays that we're going to bring light into the world, including it around New Year's, which is totally not religious, but and we're going to be refreshed and renewed. There's going to be a renewal of this, and that's what we do. We bring the unconscious to the light is empowering, and then we can consciously create. And that, to me, is the beauty of following your star of Bethlehem. Is it sweet? Is that what
it
I just said? I don't know if I would apply. I want a bigger description there, Ellen. Say, that's astonishing, John. I am
past amazement. My jaw is hanging down. My dentures are falling out of what you just said.
Okay, I'm good. I'm good.
Are you good?
I'm fine. I feel good about that.
Creepers. Good. I'm glad. But it was beautiful. I thought that was just beautiful, John. And I believe that there was some great light in the sky guiding these magi, and I believe there was a baby named Jesus, and I believe that all of that actually happened. And so whether it did or not is irrelevant to me, but I believe it did, because I think knowing that there is guidance can take physical form. You know, these magi believed that they would be guided, and they were. These magi believed they were going to find something astonishing, and they did. These magi believed in their astronomy and their learnedness of the times, and they believed that, and so they found the light, followed it, and found more light. Why? Because they believed it. That's why it's all based on what do we believe. And then once we believe something for a while, we get so we know it. And once we know it, that is the place from which we manifest from knowing. We go from faith to belief to knowing. And in the now, this very moment, we know. And in the know, we now. So we now know that this is so. And when we know that and we believe it and we're in the now, because we're in the know, then we can apply that light and start to manifest more quickly, more abundantly, more joyfully, and be like those wise men, just following the light, follow the light. Why in the world would we follow some dark shadow, the dark shadow of patterns that don't serve us anymore? Why would we do that? Well, we do it out of habit. But if we remember about the Star of Bethlehem and we follow the light, we can gently release those negative patterns. patterns out of our system, out of our thoughts, out of our knowing, and they are then replaced by the light, and then we are liberated from them for once and for all. We do have to take a break right now, and we will be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self. And next segment, we're going to talk about how do we follow the star? How do we get through all this and apply light to everything when the world has gone absolutely mad? Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. We'll be right back. I know that on this show, Identity Theft of the Self, we reach a lot of people. And I'm just taking this opportunity to tell you about something very exciting. My son, David, is an amazing fisherman. It's his life, it's his passion, it's his joy. And he's quite well known in our community for being knowledgeable, ethical, very responsible, and reliable. He knows his stuff. So, if you have any fishing questions, and I know some of you fish, so if you want to know what tackle to use, what bait to use, where the bite is, as they say, what fish are biting, you can get all kinds of information directly through my son by emailing me, EllenHartwell@Mac.com. That's EllenHartwell@Mac, M like Mary, A like Apple, C like Candy.com. And I will have David answer your questions for you. So ask three questions, and you'll get answered within 24 hours. Isn't that cool? My son is a gifted and talented fisherman and can tell you all about the fish in Florida and really anywhere, by the way, and all that you would possibly want to know about how to catch them. So have fishing questions? Hey, contact my son through me at Ellen Hartwell. EllenHartwell@Mac.com. Thank you so much. Just had to brag about my son there for a minute. You know, he's quite an amazing human being. So here we are on Identity Theft of the Self, standing in gratitude because we are gratitude. And we're talking about how do we follow a star, bringing more light into the world. Well, how do we do that, John, when jeepers, you know, look at the political mudslinging that's going on, violence in all of its forms, and we're only allowed to say happy holidays. We can't say Merry Christmas. I mean, of course, I do all over the place, but, you know, we have to be so politically correct, and we have to be very careful not to say what we really believe. I believe in God, because we might offend somebody. Oh, please. I have no patience for it anymore, and I'm old enough to get away with not having any patience for it. But nonetheless, how do we apply light to that? Well, we look at our least favorite political candidate. Now, we're not going to mention names here, but I'm sure you have a least favorite political candidate. And I want you to take just a few minutes and look at that candidate and go, ew, ew, oh, please, no, no, no. And then, wait a minute. What redeeming features can I say about this person? Well, it takes a lot of money and a lot of intestinal fortitude and a lot of smarts, we hope, to run for these elections. I mean, it takes real chutzpah to do it. And so I can at least admire their determination. I can admire their conviction. I can admire their stick-to-itiveness. Okay, maybe that's the only good thing I can say about my least favorite candidate, but that's something. What have I just done? I've put light right into that situation. And you know what? Because I've done that, I'll have a better day. In the Bible, it says, pray for your enemies. I am certainly not praying for my enemies, John. However, if we take a moment and do it, you know, just bless that person, or may they know joy, or something. It doesn't have to be some big, long, complicated thing. Guess what? We have a better day because we just put light into a dark area within ourselves. And if we keep doing that, and situations come up that may, with the eyes of the flesh, look very negative, if we put light into it, we can find the good. And so we hear all these things about different ethnic groups and religious groups and all this. Wait a minute. Every single one of them, from the very worst to the very best, from the most wealthy to the least wealthy, to the most intelligent to the least intelligent, everybody on the planet, we all have one thing in common. We carry around the authentic self. And what is that authentic self? That is animated by spirit, by God, by universe. And in that authentic self, we are one thing, namaste. The divine in me bows to the divine in you. And in that moment, we are one. If we all followed the light and applied the light to every thought, every situation, and we made it a habit, this world would change dramatically in a positive way in a very short time. Okay, let her rip, Tater Chip.
Okay, you're full of them today. Let her rip, Tater Chip. Also, in the last segment, you said one of my favorite things that you say, which is what, when you're in the know, you're in the now, which I love that one because I don't quite get it, and I have to work on it. I could chew on it for a while. Okay, here's what it is, Tater Chip. I'm going to let her rip it. I agree with you. When you say that, I mean, it's almost as if I feel like the rhythm here is you say what the practice is, and then I will say why you need to do it, and the sort of practical reason. The reason to do it is because your life will be better, period.
Yeah.
End of story. And what's interesting is because I love the example of use your least favorite, because I had a spasm just this morning. I get up very early. And it's like, this so-and-so really annoys me. Boom. And we're non-sectarian, non-political show, so it's irrelevant what the politician is. But we're in an election. You know, it's going to be a long year because they're going to be after each other all year. And just that application of, okay, I didn't think you could find the chutzpah. It's just, I can find in that person common humanity. And I will give you an example about applying the light and applying the light and how it changes. Because if you keep doing this and keep focused on expanding and manifesting, it will, no matter what the obstacles may be, no matter how bumpy the camel ride is to Bethlehem or how long it takes, it will pay off and you will begin to see the other beauty of the stars, Ellen, and the story of the Magi. On the star is, one of the beauties is they fixed on it. But I promise you, do you know what I mean? If you know the Middle East, or if you know one comes from India and one comes from sub-Saharan Africa, That is not easy stuff to transverse on a camel, but they stay fixed on the star. You stay fixed on the star, what is right, or on the light, you will get there regardless. And I guess what I wanted to say, add to this is that I had a client years ago who had trouble with the IRS. And I said to her, you actually need, I used the word pray because that was her milieu. Pray for the person that you're dealing with at the IRS and everyone else that they work for. Pray. Pray for the IRS in general. Imbue what you imagine the building that they're in with life. Imbue it with life. Because she was terrified about what was going to happen. Lo and behold, so she has to call back the next day. I said, you know, you spend 5 minutes every so often between now and then praying and imbuing that building with light, and you want the best for everyone. You want the best for everyone in that building, and you visualize them, and you send them abundance of light. Well, lo and behold, this is one example. I'm not saying this always works immediately within 24 hours, but here's the deal. She calls the next day. The person who answered the phone was not the same person who was now out. It was a woman named Hope. And I was like, okay, I don't know how that works, but that is perfect. Her agent became a woman named Hope, and you know what? Within 6 months, the entire thing is worked out and gone. Now, it took 6 months, but that is an example of what I want to say is that if you continue to practice this, putting light where there is darkness, not only will on an individual basis work out, but it will all work out. And you're right, if we did it all in math, it would work out. The world would change over almost overnight. It would change very, very rapidly. And
excuse me.
The other thing that comes up here, and I think this is important to touch on for listeners, Ellen, is the other thing you learn by applying by the, and I had a 17-day rule in my own practice. something that's really bugging me or something that's really bugging me, I will pray. It's a 30-day rule. And I have found that with my own self and my own vibration and working with stuff, I will pray. When I go to pray for someone who is something or someone who is bothering me or great, I will say, okay, this is really under my skin, this event, this person. And live long enough and you will have these people. Family members often come up. Things come up. This is bugging me. That pray for their highest good, whatever it is, exactly what they want. It's for the highest good for them and for everybody around them. Pray that. My goal is, okay, 30 days, I got to do that. Invariably, between day 11 and day 17, something shifts in that relationship. It either goes away or something changes in that relationship. I was going to say is that in this practice of applying light to things that we don't like or that make us uncomfortable or angry or fearful, is we also get to find out. It uncovers in us things that are unconscious that are holding us back. Because what I have discovered in a couple of times in this practice for me, Ellen, is I've said this before on the show and I'll say it again, I kind of enjoy that. That resentment gives me identity, gives me something I'm getting something out of. Am I willing to let go of that frustration or anger or resentment and to have the faith that it will allow me to manifest something greater? Or do I want to stay there? Or do I get more out of chewing this delicious steak right now, the steak of resentment right now? Would I rather stay here? When we pray for people, politicians, neighbors, family members, loved ones, lovers, the crazy person at the store, when we pray for the people that bother us, we will, in practice, not only shine a light, but send light to them, which I believe in. We will shine a light on ourselves, and we will see the things that are holding us back. And it's a marvelous practice. It is a marvelous practice because when we see, it again empowers us, we see those things that are in our unconscious that are holding us back, what happens is then we are empowered to make a choice. Do I want to stay there? Am I staying there? Am I consciously staying there? I said to you in the green room, in quotes, before the show started, I made a conscious choice this week and I knew I was going to pay for it, but I wanted to do it in that moment. That was very light. It wasn't about something huge and dramatic, but... And we've done it. There have been times when I know I get in the middle of something and I go, wow, I'm speaking out of school here, but I'm not a saint. Am I willing to pay the price that I'm going to pay for this complaint, this rant, this whatever it is? And sometimes I am. And I guess what I want to keep circling back to, Ellen, is that in praying for other people, the light shines back on us. In praying for other people, the light shines back on us. And then we are more empowered, and we are empowered again to grow and expand and or choose not to. There is a moment in consciousness when you're choosing to stay put. Now, that's not really feasible for a long period of time. It will cause pain, but you can choose to keep some of the stuff that is holding you back if you want to. And that's the beauty of it. And I will, when we get off the phone, I'm going to pray for that politician that's driving me up a wall. I'm not off the phone. When you're off the show, I'm going to pray for that politician who's driving me up a wall right now. And because there's something that will reflect back on me. Do I think that politician will suddenly change because I sitting in Los Angeles, are praying for them? No, I don't. What I do know is that I will be free from the burden of thinking about it, which will then manifest thinking about my annoyances, frustrations with this person, which will manifest in my life. What manifests in that person's life? But it will manifest in my life. And then I will also shine a light on what is it about this? Where is my lack of faith that I think this person is going, or this politician, or this frustration? Where is it that I feel like I need to be heard that I'm not being heard? What am I holding on to that causes me to be outside of faith when it comes to politics or things that are happening in the world? And can I put myself back inside faith, back in that circle of empowerment and light? I think it took me 45 minutes to warm up this morning, Ellen, but I got there. I just want you to know, I got there.
I'm glad.
That's as good as it's going to get today for me. No, I'm being silly. I was thinking, whenever you watch Abraham Hicks, Abraham Hicks always pauses momentarily and says, okay, wait a minute, what I just said is really good. I'm in the bad habit of that. But I do, you know, I will say that, like, yes, the other applying light to things that bother us, meaning in layman's terms, I don't know how to put this, pray for that person. Visualize them getting everything that they want. And if you don't want to do that, just try it for 2 minutes, 1 minute a day, for 30 days. Whenever I have done this, I promise you, by day 11 or by between 11 and 17 days, doesn't mean I don't finish the month, have dramatically shifted. Sometimes a person's out of my life. Sometimes we're suddenly friends. And sometimes I don't even remember what I was upset about.
yes, I know that one, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. But I know that I'm also carrying around less baggage, which makes my mastery of what we're talking about here, gets me closer to mastering it, which I believe is going to take lifetimes, but it doesn't matter. We're on the road. We're on the road to Bethlehem, all of us.
That's right. Knowing that and applying that changes our lives. It may not change anybody else, but it changes mm-hmm. ours. Mm-hmm. We do have to take a quick break here on Identity Theft of the Self, and we will be right back. And in our final segment, we're going to talk about Christmas is for kids, and I'm so glad I'm a kid. Okay, we'll be right back. Have you visited AskMariaNow.info? You haven't? Why not? You should see her site. It's gorgeous. Maria is a psychic and intuitive tarot card reader. She is a Reiki master, and she gives the most detailed, beautiful, uplifting, honest readings. She is fantastic. Go book a reading with her now at AskMariaNow.info. That's AskMariaNow.info. Yes. Maria, fabulous, fabulous psychic, etc. AskMariaNow.info. So, John, you know, I love Christmas. I love the lights. I love all the glitter, and the cornier, the better. And I'm looking right now at my Christmas tree with a really corny Santa Claus on the top of it, and all these lights and doodads and decorations from family and friends and decorations that I've bought, and just the magic of this beautiful Christmas tree all lit up. I love the light. I love the different colors. And I remember, bless you.
No, sorry. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So I remember being a kid, and it was Christmas. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, we can't go downstairs yet. Mommy and Daddy aren't up. And then you start intentionally making noise so they'd wake up. And then one of my parents would come in and say, it's 3:00 in the morning, go back to bed. And so you have to be quiet for another couple hours. Usually when we were little, they'd break down at about 5:30 and let all pandemonium break loose. But it was just so magical and exciting. And then being blessed with a child of my own, and, you know, Christmas time, and we had this thing where if it came from Santa, it was wrapped in aluminum foil. And if it was wrapped in wrapping paper and with a tag, of course, it came from whomever was said it was on the tag. But if it was from Santa, it was in aluminum foil. And those were always the big gifts, you know. And so it was so exciting and so much fun to see this child just light up like that. And one year, my ex-husband and I bought him, he wanted a talking Mickey. It was this stuffed animal that you put a tape in its back and it read stories. And he wanted that so bad. And we really couldn't afford this silly thing, but we decided to get it for him. And it came in this neat box that was like a window so you could see Mickey's face. And it was just so cool. And he opens it up. He played with the box all day long. He thought the box was just one. Never mind Mickey. The box. And it was such a great lesson for both my ex and myself that, yeah, you know, that it doesn't take much to just have kids be that excited. But if you look around you today or tomorrow, whenever you get a chance, if you don't have little ones of your own, look around and look at the kids and look at the light in their eyes and the bounce in their step, and they're so excited. And then segue off to someone elderly, even older than I am, like say in their 70s or 80s, and you'll see that twinkle, because they're giving themselves permission, as I am now at 66, to really enjoy the excitement. Is Santa going to land on the roof? Am I going to hear those little tiny hooves? Is Santa really coming? Oh my gosh, and how exciting it is. And then take all of that energy from the young and the old and everything in between and say, wow, how great is Christmas now? How can I take this wonderful light of Christmas and apply it every day? Well, the light forgives. The light lets go of resentments. The light lets go of things that do not illuminate our day, and holds on to the brilliance of joy and love and peace and forgiveness. And that's what makes this holiday season so exciting to me, because of all the light and the way people seem to be a little bit softer around the edges and a little bit more forgiving of the kids making a lot of noise, etc. So this Christmas, my prayer for all listening and for the whole world is that we get a sense of that inner light, get a sense of Christmas in the sense of the season of light, and apply it, not just look at it and wonder about it, but apply it. How can I put light into this situation? Maybe I can smile at a neighbor. Maybe I can shake the hand of a stranger. Maybe I can help that old lady across the street, whatever it is. But let's put the light of Christmas into every day. And I promise you this, if you do, your life will change. You're not going to change the world, but you'll help to change the world. One person at a time can change the world. Okay, John, do your riff. You've got like 9 minutes. Let her rip.
Oh, no. I don't have 9 minutes. Are you kidding me?
Oh, no, you have 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I only have 3 minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Fine. How about you? Why do I only have 3 minutes? What are you doing? Are you leaving early? Are you done with me? I don't know how long.
No, we have 8 minutes, honey. Go for it.
You know what? I have to say to you, this the beautiful thing about what you just said, and the beautiful thing about this year, and the thing to remember about this time of year is exactly that you don't, it doesn't have to only be at this time of year. That what you just said, and the beautiful thing about this is what you just said about applying light and putting light out there is, it is all around us all the time, all of it, all of the goodness, all of the stuff that you want, all the stuff that you think you want, all of the stuff that is beautiful about being on this plane is around us all the time. And one of the things that we can do to remind ourselves of that is that it's just to focus on it. And I always come back to this, I'm a projector, not a camera. I'm a projector, not a camera. What is it that you say, Ellen? It's not happening to me. I'm happening to it. And the beauty of this time of year, or any time of year, honestly, is that you can remind yourself to happen to it. So the change in the day when you smile at first somebody or open the door or notice how gorgeous somebody, you know, the Christmas tree in the town square is, it changes the energy level, it changes the vibration, it's an application of light, and it will change your life. And again, I happen to agree with you. Is it going to change everybody else in the world immediately? No, but if we all did it, Ellen, and I don't even think, that's not true. I don't think it even would take all of us. If we all applied that and found the beauty in the world, no matter where we are right now, find it, and keep finding it. I have two things I want to apply here. Is years and years and years ago that I want to state, I'm walking on Venice Beach. I live in Southern California with my friend, and it is a beautiful, I don't know if I've said this, I don't know if I've told the story before, but it applies here too. It's about unwrap the present all the time. Keep unwrapping the present, or unwrap the presents under the tree every single moment that you are conscious. And I am walking with a friend, and there's some festival going on at this Hare Krishna. Venice is very sort of crazy. Hare Krishna, everybody's out there. And there are some dervishes, which is a mystical form of Islam, and they're whirling dervishes, we've all heard of them, and they're just going and going and going and going. And then across the way, there's somebody, and the sun is out, and people are surfing and skating. It is a beautiful Southern California day. It is a beautiful day. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's crystal blue. The ocean is gorgeous. Whirling dervishes on one side of me and skaters on the other side, and we walk by a tent and somebody comes in. It's hard. It's somebody. I don't know. Some religion. I don't know what. Then come in. We will help you to transcend this world, this person says to me and my friend. And I turned to my friend and I smiled and said, no, thanks, we're good. And I said, I don't know if I want to transcend this. And being, what I meant in that moment was being absolutely present for the beauty that was all around me was transcendent. I didn't need to go anywhere else for it. It was right there and right in front of me. So, I mean, I just want to say, open the present under the tree all the time, every day of the year. Notice what's beautiful in front of you. And even if it's just the color red, I have a little tiny Charlie Brown Christmas tree this year, but I love it. It's little tiny, and I put something you gave me, Ellen, on it, a couple ornaments that you sent me, and some small things from the Home Depot, and it's just my, and there's a few gifts underneath it. Couldn't be happier. It makes me so happy, and I'm so grateful, and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful, and it changes what the rest of, by being in a state of appreciation for the present that is under the tree right now, right in front of me. And find it. Wherever you are listening to this, find something beautiful. I don't care if it's the color blue that you see in the corner of something on your television set. Appreciate that. It is beautiful. And the reason why I think it sort of happens, that you see the twinkling of the eyes in older people, is because sometimes it takes a long time. It takes an entire human lifetime to realize there is astonishing beauty all around us all the time. And if you decide to find that out earlier on in life, you'll have, again, more power to change things. Right? And being a vibrator on a higher level, and the manifestations become easier. That's what happens. And some things are still hard for me, but other things, the manifestations become simpler. Simpler, and then you also realize what you thought you wanted to manifest that you really don't, and you let that go, which also lessens the load, so to speak. And but notice, open the gifts under the tree every single day of the year. Notice the stuff. Notice the beautiful stuff in the world. And that was pretty good, Ellen. That's pretty good. I mean, it was 3 minutes to go. I mean, I think I used 7.5 minutes.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm astonished, but I certainly...
Okay, all right.
Pretty good. I mean, yeah, I mean, it was an A. It wasn't an A+, but okay, it was...
I'll take a B+.
Okay. And remember, too, you're so right, John, every day we should open all the presents because there are tons of them in front of us. And remember that if you avoid words and thoughts and actions and conversations that don't reflect the light, you've got a lot more time and energy for things that do reflect the light, your thoughts, your feelings, your sense of, I do impact my own world. That's light. Hang on to that, because the authentic self, where all this light bubbles up within us from, it was really a precocious child. It's like that child who does believe in Santa or whatever your faith is, that child is mature and yet joyful. Why? Beyond its years and able to see the beauty around it that's there all the time. And it doesn't mean you're a Pollyanna and that you don't know that the world's gone mad. It means that your world hasn't gone mad. And when you apply the light to every circumstance, you'll find that more people around you do, because, of course, we affirm I only attract like-minded people. And so more and more people do it. And you know what? In and over time, yes, that does change the whole world. So if we take the light and we apply the light and we avoid these things that we all get titillated by, and we say, you know what, I don't want to talk about that person unless that person's on the phone or in the room. Or you know what, I hear you, but let's focus on the positive. What can we find that's positive about that particular situation? Then we're spreading the light, and that's what we want to do. We are going to close this show now. I thank you so much for listening. I thank you, John, my co-host. Next week's show is about our favorite topic. No, not sex. Love. It's about love. Next week's show is about love. And so tune in next week, same time, same station. John, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to all. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Have a good week.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Bye.